When I was a little girl, we sang a song at church that went like this. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Maybe you know it. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Well, that little song was often the melody of my conscience. You know, every day you and I speak thousands of words. Some are very carefully planned and selected, and others are spoken impulsively. Some are spoken quietly, and some are spoken with more volume. Some of our words are spoken with the desire to help and encourage, and some are spoken with the motivation to hurt, to belittle, and to retaliate. But most of our words are spoken with little, if any, thought about how they will affect others. James speaks to us about the importance of every word we speak, because every word has an impact, both on God, who judges every spoken word we have, and on those who hear our words. In Matthew 12, Jesus warns, "But I say to you that for every idle word you may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And James asks us, "Can fresh water and salt water come from the same pool of water?" We all pretty much know the answer. No. The salt is going to disperse evenly through all of the water, and once there is salt in your water, there's not going to be any fresh water. In the same way, our salty words disperse through our whole being, so that all of our words have salt in them. And James asks, "Can a fig tree grow olives? Or a grapevine produce figs?" No. Olive trees grow olives, grapevines grow grapes, and fig trees yield figs. In the same way, our words reveal what we are and what we are growing. A friend of mine who used to be in youth ministry talks about how important it is for youth volunteers to be careful about what they teach about God, because it may seem, she used to say, 2 degrees off right here. But when you continue to build around 2 degrees off, when you get out there, you're a long way from talking about the same God. That error leads us far astray. James is warning us that what we teach is the rudder to our ship. And what we say is the rudder to our ship. It sets our course. And if we're 2 degrees off, we're going to end up a long way from where we meant to go. Now, as an adult, I replaced the melody of "Be careful, little mouth, what you say" with these words from Socrates. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? While Socrates was a Greek philosopher 400 years before Jesus, his test of three are congruent with the teachings of Scripture. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Is it true? If it is not true, then it is a lie. And Scripture is clear that lies cause death. Death of trust, death of relationship. And lies abound in our world. In fact, sometimes it's hard to know what is true and what is not true. So much information comes to us that is intentionally not true that it can wear us down trying to find out what is true. Memes are created with lies and they're forwarded to us as truth. Pictures are doctored. Political campaigns run commercials and send flyers that tout lies about their opponents as if they were truth. Companies pay for research that supports their financial gain. Excuses are made that all truth is relative, but by definition, truth can't be relative. Opinions are relative. Truth is based on fact. You know, it doesn't really work for me to say that I don't believe in gravity, and for you to say that you do believe in gravity, and to say that it's okay for me not to believe in gravity when I'm standing on the edge of a building. Does that work? If you let me disbelieve in gravity as I stand on the edge of a building about to jump, you know what the result will be. So, not only do we ask ourselves, is it true, before we speak the truth as well. And then that second question is really important, because when we speak the truth, the second question that follows up really quickly is it kind? Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus that we are to speak the truth in love, growing in every way into being like Jesus. And James tells us that the tongue is like a fire, that it only takes a spark to create a devastating forest fire. General Robert E. Lee was once asked what he thought of a fellow officer in the Confederate Army, an officer who had made some pretty mean-spirited remarks about Lee. And he thought for a moment, and then he rated him as very satisfactory. Well, the person who was asking the question was pretty troubled at Lee's answer, because he did not expect him to rate this other person as very satisfactory. And he said, "So, General, I guess you don't know what he's been saying about you?" "Oh, yes," answered Lee. "I know. But I was asked my opinion of him, not his of me." Controlling our tongue is one of life's greatest challenges. And the third test is it necessary? Proverbs tells us that restraining our lips is wise. James tells us to use our lips to bless rather than to curse. I had a colleague who came into church one day to find that one of the staff had brought a dog to work. A sick dog. A dog that stank because he was sick. And my colleague immediately went to his office and drafted a memo forbidding bringing dogs to work. And he had his administrative print it on red paper and distribute it to all of the staff mailboxes immediately. It was a blazer. I'm telling you, I got a copy of it. And he felt really good about it. Who brings their stinky dog to work anyway, right? And then he learned. The staff member, who was single, had had that dog for 11 years. And the afternoon before had been to the vet for a visit because the dog had just not been walking quite right and had learned that the dog had a brain tumor, and the vet had said, "I don't know if it will grow quickly or slowly." And overnight, the dog's bowels had become problematic. The staff member had been up all night. And that day would be the day to say goodbye. But the vet wasn't available until the afternoon. And the staff person had some really important things that had to be done for an event that was happening that weekend and needed to get those things done that morning. And so committed to the ministry, that staff member came in even though he knew he could not leave his dog, only to have the head of staff write a blazing memo and print it on red paper and put it in everybody's mailbox that we shall never, ever, for any reason, bring a dog to work. Is it necessary? Rather than a blanket memo or an email or a Facebook post, is it necessary? Or maybe go to the person Rather than point out where the person is wrong, maybe listen to the person's story. Of course, the red memo led to the staff person stoking fires of office gossip about the lack of concern that the senior pastor had for the staff. Can you even believe that he is so uncaring? And the gossip led to sides, and the sides led to office tension, and no good came of it. Was it necessary? No. James says, with our tongues we bless the Lord, and at the same time we have a tendency to curse other people who are all made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth, he says, come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. So the word for us today is, be careful, little mouths, what you say. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? For the Father up above is looking down in love. Amen.